What is the woman's name? She's like this
What is
reality
it?
TV star, Paola,
Is that the commentator
PAOL.
or is that the
That's
wrestler?
her name. The wrestler's name is the announcer's name is like David McLean or whatever.
Oh
Like he's like
yeah.
the owner.
That's the
He's
guy
like
from
he's
that's the guy who owned Glow back in the day.
right. Well, he can't. He pronounces her name Paola, like Paola.
Is he doing that on purpose?
No, I don't think he is. At least if he is, he's not doing it ironically, like where I'd be like, oh, this is a gimmick. Like
Right.
I don't know. It's trash. It's easily digestible. I watch it. What I end up doing, Greg, is I bank like three episodes and then I just watch three of them in a row, nonstop. You know, and I skip it's I enjoy Top Tier.
Okay.
The women, the WoW Trios champions, led by Coach Capinelli.
Okay.
Yeah, she's they're an evil bunch. Hate the team that's going to take their Trios titles away from them
Hate. You actually hate the team.
because they're terrible. Like they're a bunch of people that again because you know it's not the most experienced of wrestlers in the world, right? Like it's a hodgepodge of people that thrown together because like it was originally like this tag team that was being picked on by Top Tier, but then one of them got hurt, so then they threw in this other person, and like there's like this influx of like new people that they brought in lately. You know, it's like watching old NWA programming where there was never a pay-per-view, so just the show just keeps cycling through like title
Right.
matches, and like all other talent, you know, gets dedicated to their main event scenes. So, you know, Santana Garrett, you know, always is wrestling in the main event because
Right.
they need somebody good. And I don't know. It's trash wrestling, but I enjoy it. So
I guess
I don't
so.
have to think. I don't get mad at it. I
Right.
don't get mad at things that happen.
That's true.
Oh, hold on. I gotta find out if the Caps lost. Dave's texting me all mad.
Uh-oh. Caps must have lost.
Yeah.
It's gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay.
Dude, his team losing isn't nearly as soul crushing as my Blues and how they got eliminated from the playoffs. So,
True.
did it.
True.
2-goal lead with less than 3 minutes, Greg.
That
Gave
hurts.
up the tie, gave up the tying goal with less than 2 seconds left to go in the game.
Have you seen you? I know. I mean, okay, this is a stupid ass question. I'm asking you if you've seen something on television when, because I never heard of this show a week ago, and now I'm in season two. Have you ever seen, not just heard of it, but actually seen the TV show Shoresy?
No, I have not seen
Have you heard of it?
Shoresy. No,
So it's on Hulu, first of all. I mean, you have Disney
that's why I
Plus.
haven't. That's why I don't have Hulu. I don't have that bundle. It's the only streaming service I don't have,
Okay. I don't
if
even
you
know
can
if it's on the
believe
free
that.
version of Hulu or not, but it's basically the no-show hockey league, which is like senior level AAA hockey up in Canada. And I saw some people that I know in the world of wrestling replying on Facebook about Shoresy, and someone's like, "Now I finished Shoresy, what do I do?" I'm like, "Shoresy." So I looked it up. So I was in Hulu, so I started watching it. First episode, I'm like, "I don't think I'm gonna make it through this show. Like, it's just not my thing." By the end of like the third episode, I'm hooked on Shoresy. It's just really funny stuff. It's like if The Office or Parks and Rec met North Canadian senior crappy level, or they call it like senior whale shit hockey. That's kind of like what it is. So highly entertaining, and
It's
I very much
actually
enjoyed.
interesting because I just looked it up on Wikipedia. It's actually a spin-off of another show
Really?
called Letterkenny.
I did see that as a something that's linked to Shoresy.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
It was
That makes sense.
adapted from a YouTube series. It's
Huh.
fascinating how these, you
No
know,
shit.
it's crazy how shows get formed. Like, can you like if you'd have told me Ted Lasso
Right.
based on some goofy sketches that were done during, I think, the World Cup,
Oh, really?
with yeah, like the Ted Lasso character came out of a I can't remember if it was at the World Cup or it was some soccer event with like the Ted Lasso character was there. And then, and it was played by Jason Sudeikis. Like that was all real. But that it was him wanting to create a series that was a continuation, like kind of following that kind of character. And that's how you get Ted Lasso. Hmm. You know, you get a 6-season Karate Kid sequel series, all because people were bored on YouTube and got Billy Zabka to do a YouTube series that they got bought by Netflix. Like,
right.
It's amazing how that stuff comes about.
Hey man, I was glad it came about. I enjoyed Cobra Kai. So
I did too.
I was down. I was 100% down. But yeah, Shoresy has been surprisingly good. So anybody who's listening now, because I've been recording this, check out Shoresy or react to the fact that I'm talking about a show you've already seen. Because I do think it's, I think it started in 2021 or 2022. So I'm late to the party as usual on Shoresy.
I mean, I hadn't even heard of the party. So
me until a week ago, I had not also either heard of the party, but. I didn't watch any today. I was too busy at work because being on Pacific time, I can usually turn on the TV around 3 while I'm wrapping up and doing some of the busy work I got to do and email recaps and stuff. But today it was just a little bit crazier at the tail end of the day. So was not able to do that, but highly, highly recommend.
Damn.
What are we doing?
It's not part of free Hulu.
Oh no.
Exactly. No pop.
You now get free Hulu on Disney Plus.
So let me ask you
with some stuff.
Yeah. Let me ask you this question. Can you hear the sound bites? Now that we're on Teams. Because I've already played one.
Got enough.
So
nope.
Got exactly. Enough. No pop.
I wonder if it's something that my setting then. I wonder. Let me make sure that the sound bites are part of the show real quick.
Exactly. No pop.
Yeah, the soundbite's part of the show. I don't know why they're not feeding out.
Did you just do a playback of the show?
No.
Okay. Because I was like, I didn't even hear that. Like,
no, I looked at. I just looked at the little sound meter. I just looked at the sound meter.
Gotcha.
And saw that it popped up as Roman Reigns said, "Exactly, no pop."
Exactly, no pop.
This is peak. Yeah, I can't hear it.
That's fine. We haven't been able to hear for weeks, so. You can hear me, which is equally as important as the sound bites. So you are good. The listener can hear the sound bites, which may or may not be important. Of course, I won't be playing any songs because of, you know, Spotify doesn't like them. So we can't do
that. I mean, Metallica had a point back in the Napster days. Like, you know, it's wrong is wrong.
Agreed. I mean, whatever.
I mean, I don't agree with it. It makes the show, it makes us have less fun.
It does make us have less fun, yes. But again, like I've always said, you know, people shouldn't rely on that stuff. I've been pounding the drum about copyright music for years on this network. I just never had the backup like I do receiving 80-some Spotify emails telling me a show is going to get deleted. So, yeah, that's fun. That is fun. So let's see how far along we are in the program right now. Oh, only 8 minutes. It's only been 8 minutes since I started recording. So should be good. So yeah, listener plus Patrick O'Dowd. Well, you can't, but check out Shoresy. Good shit. Very much enjoyable. Highly, highly recommended. We will have a podcast though. Let me see what can I play that'll be viable.
TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Acknowledge me.
There we go. We'll play a little soundbite action. Be happy. So Patrick O'Dowd, before we start talking about Backlash, do it. Do it.
Backlash?
There you go. Keep doing it.
Backlash?
You are good enough to do Backlash, Patrick O'Dowd. As you know, Friday of last week, something happened that always sets the internet ablaze in terms of professional wrestling. The big evil corporation known as WWE released some talent from their contracts or chose not to renew some contracts, and everyone lost their collective minds. So yeah, that happened. And I mean, there are some that I care about and do
right.
wish they didn't get released. The one, I feel like every time they need to cut money, they just release Braun Strowman. Right. Braun Strowman made as much as I think everyone else combined. Maybe not, because the main roster, apparently the new minimum salary in the main roster is now $350,000 and not $250,000, which it had been for a while. So that's good. I mean, that's good. That's good work if you can find it right there. So,
right.
But everyone's was fairly positive in their, you know, posts about being released here and there. There were a few that weren't as positive. There were some surprises to me, though. I know she wasn't doing anything, but Dakota Kai is very, very popular. So I was a little surprised right. by that one. Shayna Baszler, she's in her 40s. So I guess I can see it. She had a good run. I'm glad she had that good run. She will get work, which we can talk about. Some of the NXT, the biggest shocker for me was Cora Jade, who was in NXT and she had been a big part of NXT. I mean, Cora Jade had teamed with Roxanne Perez and had held championships, or at least tag championships, and was in some high level angles and, you know, has wrestled plenty for WWE, was even on the Stand and Deliver card. And then she was released. That one is surprising. I don't know if there's anything behind the scenes that factored into that. Because I thought she might even be getting primed for a main roster call up, and now she's been released. Gigi Dolin, but again, she'd been there for a while. The one that I liked the least was a gentleman that you probably don't even know who he is, named Riley Osborne, who was part of Chase U before Chase U disbanded. And then he got released, but apparently Riley Osborne balked at the notion of wrestling on Evolve and basically said no. And so that's a one-way ticket out of there come right. release time. Oro Mensah, who was part of the Metaphor group, which is a great group, and was also wrestling in Evolve, he got released. Gallus was another big surprise. Gallus was an NXT UK trio, did a lot of great things on different PLEs and all that. I also thought maybe primed for a main roster call-up now. Jobless. So, yeah, it's just, you know, and it's funny. Matt Cardona always makes a post whenever releases happen, and he's like, bet on yourself, go out there and do this. And I see it and I'm like, they're not all Zack Ryder.
Right.
Like Zack Ryder started way far ahead, as did Cody Rhodes. When both of them, quote unquote, bet on themselves, A, they had already been making WWE money for quite a while.
Right.
And B, they had a far more marketable name. In fact, I would go as far to say that upon their release, both Zack Ryder and Cody Rhodes had far more marketable names than anybody who was released in this cycle, including Braun Strowman. So I don't...
Maybe, I don't... Yeah.
So I don't buy it.
Braun Strowman clearly... I don't know. Braun Strowman got farther along in the company, even though he got cut twice. Like, I mean, he never did get the...
Yeah.
What?
He's been a world champion.
Right. So... That's the only one that's, you know, as you mentioned though, this happens every year, and every year everyone twice freaks out. Yeah. So twice a year. It just sort of depends on how a person rolls with it. You know, kudos to Shotzi. She's going to change the world. Good for her. But I wish people would take a step back and really like, it's okay to be upset by, you know, people that you saw get released or not renewed. And you look at a little bit of the why, because when I go through that list of names, other than Braun, like, frankly, I don't know NXT well enough to know any of the people that got cut. But it was like, who? Okay, Shayna's not really been doing, like, what has Shayna Baszler done? She's been in two strong women tag teams that have failed. Like... Right.
And not only that, but they released Sonya Deville, the last round of releases, who was part of their little trio. Now they've released Shayna Baszler, leaving Zoe Stark pretty much on her own. So, just like the Karrion Kross, where they released his whole faction except for himself and Scarlett. So,
right. So it's just like I don't buy, you know, raising this big uproar over something that typically happens that. if you just look at it from the, as the Colt Cabana shirt used to say, creative has nothing for you. Like, that's really what it is. It's like, at this point, because some of these people, I'm sure, will be back. Like, I'm sure it happens all the time.
Especially some of the NXT folks, come back. Yeah.
Like, hell, Braun Strowman had been released and come back. Now, will he come back this time? Maybe, maybe not. Who cares? Maybe he won't want to come back. Who knows? But to act every year as if this is some great crime against humanity, and then to recycle the speculation of various punditry out there to talk about why somebody was released for any other reason beyond that creative, you know, that there really wasn't anything for them outside of clearly the example you were giving of somebody who was, you know, highly involved in some stories. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the number of people who ran with the Dave Meltzer being like, people were let go because they were old, which I don't even think Dave was saying as a fact. I think he was taking a look at names and sort of spitballing like we do on this podcast.
Right.
So I don't even think you should vilify him. I just think people need to stop running with that shit as if it's gospel. Don't run with what Greg and I say could be why somebody got released as if it were gospel.
Right.
Because we don't know. We weren't in those decision-making rooms. We can only speculate. And my biggest speculation is that these people weren't really doing a whole heck of a lot that was moving the needle on a television program anyway. Mm-hmm. So you let them go. And then maybe they come back after they've learned a new hole, they got a new look, or done something else. Like, hell, the damage control is a great example. Like, mm-hmm. they were gone and then they were brought back.
Agreed. Yeah. The interesting thing for me is, it's where they go next. Like you said, like go learn a new hold. I wonder, with the relationship between WWE and TNA, will that factor into whether or not TNA signs some of these releases?
Right.
Positively or negatively. Right. Will it factor into whether or not TNA signs or releases, whereas WWE might recommend them? Like Cora Jade, for example, she has been wrestling various times in TNA as part of the relationship between the two. Could TNA sign her? Because I would if I were them. And
sure,
if TNA were to sign her, could they still call her Cora Jade? She's already on her social media has changed her name back to Elena Black, which is what she wrestled as before she was signed by WWE.
Right.
Do they still call her Cora Jade? Would WWE allow that? Like, how strong is that relationship? Where would they allow TNA to continue to use WWE IP if TNA signs a former star? Riley Osborne also wrestled some X Division matches in TNA because he's an X Division wrestler. He's another one I would sign with him, along with Gallus, who's an amazing trio, who just big bruisers beat the fuck out of you guys.
I mean, again, I don't know the answer to that question necessarily. Obviously, we're not in those rooms. I personally don't know that the WWE cares, because the WWE gets from TNA who they want from TNA to be on their program. So like Joe Hendry, for example, defending his title on an NXT PLE. Right. Jordynne Grace, in my opinion, by default, even though she quote unquote left the company, but then was signed, like that transition happened through the TNA relationship. And it is, and yes, it's going back and it's going in both directions. However, I will say when I watch TNA and I see an NXT talent, I'm not like, oh boy, look at that. How great is that for TNA? The other way around.
I guess there were some on tonight's episode of NXT because there was a battle royal. So I guess there were some in the battle royal. I don't know. What's interesting is that Jordynne Grace is a great example, right? Because she showed up in the Royal Rumble as Knockouts champion. She then a few months later shows up in NXT as Roxanne Perez's opponent for Battleground last year in Vegas as the Knockouts champion. And then she eventually signs with the company. But I feel like when I see Jordynne Grace, more than anybody else, when I see Jordynne Grace continue to show up on WWE television, I still see TNA.
Right.
And I'd have to go back and listen to it. And maybe they'll purposefully not do this on Battleground on the commentary. I feel like not a match has happened or an appearance by Jordynne Grace has happened where TNA is not talked about when she wrestles. And I'm talking about since she signed with WWE. So for me, it's she more than anybody. And of course, Joe Hendry. is forever linked to TNA because they were crossover before they signed. So that's what I find a little more interesting, because that connection, I feel like when Jordynne Grace goes to the main roster, they're still going to talk about her TNA accomplishments. And that could be 2 years from now. Who the hell knows? And right. When Joe Hendry eventually signs with WWE, he is 36 years old, but I still think it's going to happen. I mean, look at LA Knight.
Right.
You know, he's 40. So I do think he's going to get
the LA Knight run too. Like that's going to be his run.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I absolutely agree. So it's just, that's the weird thing for me. Like, if they were to sign a Cora Jade, who was kind of the most high profile of these names that got released from NXT in terms of PLE experience, storylines, everything, her and Jakara Jackson, who was also part of Metaphor, they would kind of be the same opposite effect, right? There's always going to be this NXT person in TNA, even if they can't call her Cora Jade. Because I'm sure if I'm on commentary TNA, I'll be like, formerly known as Cora Jade in WWE NXT, you know, but they call WWE and they say, hey, can we call her Cora Jade? I bet Shawn Michaels or Triple H, whatever, would say yes, unless there's some weird
policy
against it. Or if they call up and they say, hey, you know, we're going to bring in Riley Osborne, it's a company like, well, this motherfucker said no to some stuff we wanted him to do, so maybe you shouldn't. And like, would TNA be like, okay, Riley Osborne is less important than our relationship with WWE, so we're not going to do that. And you know, and Cora Jade has come out on social media and said that she was body shamed backstage by WWE, by her bosses, as she put it. Which I'm shocked more people aren't suddenly going after Shawn Michaels, because he does run NXT, and maybe they are, and I just don't see it. But
I haven't seen it, so I don't know.
You also had, you know, Caden Carter and Katana Chance. They got released. It is a lot of women, which I think some people have pointed out. But a lot of women are getting called up from NXT right now, more than the men. So, yeah, it's just a very interesting time. It's a very interesting time for the, you know, because of all the other things. I mean, we acquired AAA. We have a relationship with TNA. We have a relationship with Noah in Japan that people seem to forget about at times. So does this change things around? Like, could Gallus go to Noah? Gallus is big hosses, you know, wrestling American style, like, who also wrestle the UK style. That usually spells significantly over when you show up in Japan. So that could be a great option for them as well. And could WWE help facilitate some of these if they were happy with these folks when they left? It's just very interesting. And I have a feeling that I'm thinking of things that others just don't even care about. So
No, not at all.
Because, you know, I'm Mr. Business, Wrestling Business. Greg's a promoter. So, which, by the way, this Saturday night, Saturday, May the 10th, IZW, Legends Never Die, Bullshooters, as always, grab your tickets while you can. IZWTix.com. 2025 Monster Rumble winner Bryn Thorne tries to make history, tries to become the first woman to ever hold the IZW Heavyweight Championship when she challenges Can't Stop Jamal. A match over a year in the making. Main event, Evan Daniels versus the Emperor Bryce Saturn in a number one contender match. Of course, the Navajo Warrior retirement tour continues when he teams up with Gabriel Gallo for the final time. Ghost Walker and the Navajo Warrior Native Blood back together to take on those damn dastardly Ballard brothers, which will be officiated by AEW referee Rick Knox, by the way. So come on and check that out as well. A whole lot more. Just a great card announced just yesterday due to the injury to EJ Sparks. G-Sharp out of Vegas will be down to go one-on-one with the longest reigning champion in IZW history, Thugnificent. So much more. You definitely want to be there. You definitely want to check it out. IZWTix.com. Come and join us. And if you're a longtime listener and you listen to Greg DeMarco, Patrick Dowd, and Miranda Morales, of course, she will be there ring announcing. Patrick won't be there. You had your chance back in November to meet Patrick O'Dowd.
Yeah, I could have gate checked you. I was security.
There are fans who listen. There may be fans who are listening that don't even realize you were the one who gate checked them. So,
I held the line.
Come check it out. Going to be another good time, and you know, maybe a preview into what's coming in August, especially along the Navajo Warrior retirement tour and so much more. IZWTix.com. Come and check it out. Gonna be a great time because it always is. We're gonna go to commercial. We're gonna come back and we are gonna have some fun. We're gonna talk about Backlash That's right. Backlash. We are literally, we're 10 minutes earlier than we went to commercial last time we recorded this show. So I was about to say the same exact spot, but no, 10 minutes earlier. We'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
At Ritual, Mother's Day is kind of a big deal, and we're celebrating accordingly. Find your ritual. If mom needs a bit of stress relief, digestive support, or is looking to support glowy, smooth skin, do it today with 40% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/podcast. That's ritual.com/podcast for 40% off your first month. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
You just made the list!
Haven't had a, you know, Chris Jericho is like on sabbatical right now from AEW because Fozzy's on tour. Haven't heard a lot of Chris Jericho mentions recently, so.
It's been quiet.
It has been quiet on the Chris Jericho front. Still maintaining he will finish his career in WWE. But that's not what we're here to talk about. Oh, no. We are talking about Joey Styles' favorite pay-per-view, PLE, and that is, of course, WWE Backlash. Also, this Saturday night, May the 10th, hey, look, if you got Peacock, you can go to IZW, then you can go home and watch the replay of Backlash. So you will be 100% fine. Plus, they have 5 matches. We have 9. So think about that. But we are going to do what we normally do. Who will win? Who should win? Except in the other order on the program. And then we will have a Chair Shot predictions article coming out. Patrick O'Dowd's picks from this show might go directly into that article on behalf of Patrick O'Dowd. So I will be doing my best there to get that taken care of for him. So
appreciate you.
You guys all know the drill, how we do this, who should win, who will win. We have 5 matches currently on the card. We still have SmackDown to come on Friday, so maybe something gets added, maybe something doesn't. But we are recording this on Tuesday, May the 6th, 2025, for historical purposes. So if something gets added and you didn't get us a prediction from us on that, that is why. Patrick O'Dowd, match number 1 for the Intercontinental Championship, everybody's favorite Intercontinental Champion, of course, is none other than Dominic Mysterio. He will be defending said Intercontinental title against white hot rocket ship strapped to his back, Penta, in St. Louis at Backlash. Probably going to be your opener because they love opening shows with Penta. Like Raw has opened with Penta as for the first match so many times. Do me a favor, Patrick O'Dowd. I don't know how far into Raw you got before you stopped. Just watch Penta's entrance. I know they made a big deal. It's new guitar riff by the guitar player from Tool or whatever. But one of the coolest things I've ever seen, the way they shot, like zoomed in on his face and he moves his arms and the fire pops up behind him. You could literally hear the commentators being like, oh, like, wow, like just genuinely react to. And that to me is what professional wrestling is all about. I watched the video of Penta's ring entrance and I'm like, that's pro wrestling. Not a single move, not even an opponent, not even a ring in the shot. But that's what pro wrestling is all about, is Penta walking out to an amazing entrance song with fire and fireworks behind him. So welcome to pro wrestling. Penta will challenge Dominic Mysterio for the Intercontinental Championship. Patrick O'Dowd, who should win? Who will win?
Well, this is tough because you've also got that you've got that Finn Balor factor. And so the question for me is, well, and the question for me is when does Finn Balor assert himself? Because, he's waiting.
Right.
I don't think it's this match yet. I do think that Pitt is going to go places, but Dominic Mysterio is also going places, and you cannot deny how much the crowd loves him, loves to play along and hate him. Mm-hmm. And I think they want to see him stay champion. So while I actually think Penta should have won at Mania, and I think Penta should win here if they're really doing what they want to do with him, because it seems like they want to give him a belt of some sort, I think Dominic Mysterio is going to win. And I think there's no wrong answer to this match, to be frank. Like, I think either one of them, you know, either Penta winning over Dominic or Dominic retaining it, I think that could happen on Saturday. And I'd be like, yes, that should have happened. So this is one of the few times, Greg, where it's like both should win. But I'm going to pick, I'm going to say Penta should win just because I thought he should have won the four-way previously. But I'm going to say Dominic will win because the wave of Dominic Mysterio as Intercontinental Champion is just starting. And we haven't quite crested yet to where it's got to be Finn that's had enough.
Yeah.
And really is the cause as to why he loses it. And I just don't think it's this week.
Two things about this match for me. Number one, I think Dominic should win and Dominic will win. I think that it's just too soon to take it off of Dominic. I love Penta. He's literally my favorite wrestler in WWE right now. Just because of the whole presentation and then what he does in the ring. And I've loved him since I discovered him for myself on Lucha Underground. So, I was pounding the drum for him to be AEW World Champion when they signed him. And I've been wanting him in WWE. And now that he's there, you can just see he's having fun. So all that is great. But Dominic just won the damn thing. And it makes no sense for him to lose it because of what you talked about. Plus, it's weird because Liv Morgan's off TV right now because she's filming some rom-com or whatever she's filming, where she apparently has a big role and is going to go off and be a big movie star soon. And maybe he loses while she's gone, and so that gives him fodder for when she comes back. Or maybe, you know, he still has it until she's there. I do agree that Finn's going to be the one to break this thing up. On Raw, on Monday, they had a backstage promo with the Judgment Day, and randomly had AJ Styles show up and tell Dominic that he was going to challenge him for the Intercontinental title. And I feel like they just gave that shit away of what's going to happen in this match. Now, maybe they just assume. Now, of course, Dominic's going to have JD McDonagh, Finn Balor, Carlito, Raquel Rodriguez. Like, he's going to have the full complement. So Penta can lose and not be hurt in any way by this. Plus, they've already planted the seeds for Penta and El Grande Americano to take place. So I think that in this case, by the way, brand new WWE speed champion, El Grande Americano. So there you go.
Hey, how about that? Totally right? Not Chad Gable.
Singles goal for Chad Gable.
Nope, that's not Chad Gable.
My fault.
Totally
my fault.
Not Chad Gable. Right.
My bad. Shit, my bad. Fuck.
You should know.
I'm sorry. My apologies to Mr. Gable and Mr. Americano. I honestly think it's Dominic on both, even though it's painful for me to say. The United States Championship is on the line in a fatal four-way match, which of course means the champion does not have to be pinned to lose said championship, as Jacob Fatu defends against LA Knight, against Drew McIntyre, and against Damian Priest in a four-way match. Patrick O'Dowd, I would say this is a lone SmackDown match, but John Cena is technically, I mean, he's the WWE champion, so he would be SmackDown superstar, but officially this is kind of the lone SmackDown match. SmackDown always gets hosed because these PLEs are the day after SmackDown, and SmackDown needs to have a television show. Who should win? Who will win?
And this is my, I feel like Jacob Fatu should win, and I feel like Jacob Fatu will win. Because he just won the title. Let's see what we can do with this guy. And you don't do that by having him lose before. I actually watched the SmackDown where the match got announced. I hated that match announcement. I was like, this, I hated it so much, Craig.
Why?
It's definitely the four-way part of it. Right. Like, and I felt like the Damian Priest, Drew McIntyre. Like, I felt like the Damian Priest element was shoehorned in, even though it made sense.
Right.
Like, okay, my feud with Drew's not dead, even though I just lost to Drew the night before or the week before at WrestleMania. But like, you know, and that was supposed to be the end, but it wasn't really the end. And now we're going to keep going by showing up after Drew McIntyre wins, albeit via disqualification. Like I get why the match came together the way it, I didn't like it. I didn't want it. I would have much preferred this be a straight up one-on-one match between Fatu and LA Knight, with LA Knight wanting to try to get his belt back. Like, that's just me.
Yeah, I get that. It's interesting too, because they definitely shoehorned, they put Damian in, and then they had Solo point out that Drew McIntyre beat Damian, so Drew McIntyre should have been in instead, which caused Nick Aldis to make it a four-way, which caused Nick Aldis to point out that Solo screwing over Jacob Fatu, which I found very interesting, because you know that's coming at some point. It's not there yet.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
coming at some point. You know, we tend to make fun of Solo Sikoa on this program.
Exactly, no pop.
But he's actually, I feel like it was too soon for him when he took over the Bloodline. But I feel like him as in a speaking role, but Solo being the head guy, I've actually seen Jacob Fatu being the head guy. I've seen Solo kind of blossom a little bit. Like it was before.
He's a little better. Take the gloves off though. Can you take the gloves off?
Yeah, I get it. Maybe they will. But that's how you do it. Like look at Diamond Dallas Page, had a million different gimmicks all around him.
Right.
And the more he got over, the less he did. Like I think eventually you do take those things off of Solo and because he won't need them in the long run. But yeah, again, like you don't do everything you did. You took the title off of Nakamura to put it on LA Knight just so you could put it on Jacob Fatu, and you don't just take it off. You've got everybody in the match to set up a way that Fatu wins, but doesn't, you know, no one gets hurt, quote unquote, by it. Cause it is a loaded match in terms of talent. That's for sure. But I'm with you. I think Jacob Fatu should win. Jacob Fatu will win. And to me, these first two matches were kind of obvious. In the way that they will go just because of recent booking and what we can see for the future. Third match, however, might present a little bit more of a conundrum as former WWE World Heavyweight Champion Gunther, fresh off his loss to Jey Uso, where he tapped out to kick off night one of WrestleMania 41, will go one-on-one with Raw color commentator and also part-time professional wrestler and YouTube star and ESPN personality and former NFL punter, Pat McAfee. Patrick O'Dowd, Gunther versus Pat McAfee. Who should win? Who will win?
I'm gonna speak with my feelings. I feel like Gunther should win. I feel like Gunther... I have a feeling you're going to, I don't know where you're going to go, but I'm going
somewhere. I can tell you that.
Yeah. I'm going to say Gunther for both. I won't be surprised if I'm wrong, but I for all of his athletic credentials and his willingness to do whatever, he's still a color commentary guy who shouts a lot and yeets behind a desk, and yes, Gunther indeed should not lose to that guy. I'm sorry. I don't care how well built he is. Like, this isn't Randy Savage calling Monday Night Raw. You know what I mean? It's just not. And sure, he's wrestled he's done a few matches here. He showed up in the Royal Rumble. He's got eliminated right away. But like, this is one of the things where I'm like, Gunther has a mystique. Like, Gunther doesn't lose to this guy. And if he does lose to this guy, what are you doing with Gunther? Unless Gunther's going on vacation.
Right.
So I think it's Gunther.
So I agree with you that Gunther should win this match. No way should Pat McAfee beat Gunther. Like, it just doesn't make sense in any other way. But Patrick O'Dowd, I'm going to do what I always say we should never do. But why TF not? I am going to fully buy into the internet reports, 125% to the internet news that has no business being right whatsoever, and claim that this is going to be the start of the build to Gunther versus Bill fucking Goldberg at SummerSlam. That Goldberg is going to randomly show up, spear the shit out of Gunther, allow Pat McAfee to win this match because Goldberg's going to get his retirement match that he's reportedly been promised, where he puts over Gunther at SummerSlam because they love to use Goldberg at SummerSlam. And we are going to see Pat McAfee win because of Bill F. Goldberg.
Okay. Fine. Like, whatever. Like,
it has no business happening. I have no business believing the internet reports. There is nothing to substantiate. They don't come from anything that's good in terms of sourcing, but I'm just rolling with it, probably because I want to see it happen. Because
it keeps the show interesting.
Not only that, but Goldberg and Gunther has the potential to be historic for the right or wrong reasons. Because Goldberg has the propensity to just decide to no-sell everything if he wants to.
Yep.
And watching Gunther get visibly frustrated and just continuing to beat the fuck out of Goldberg would be amazing. So so I would love to see it. And so that's why I'm going with that. That as the finish. Probably won't happen. Probably shouldn't happen, but that's what I'm going with as my prediction for this match. The Women's Intercontinental Championship will be on the line as Lyra Valkyria, the came in the least significant call up last year, in my opinion, but man, does WWE love her for one reason or another. She had a professional rivalry with, I just saw your text, by the way. I didn't even catch that. So hopefully we're still good. She had a professional rivalry with Becky Lynch in NXT, but she now has a much more personal rivalry. Becky Lynch turned on her after WrestleMania, and now we are one-on-one at Backlash for the Women's Intercontinental Championship. Who should win? Who will win?
If you're trying to make Lyra Valkyria fetch, as it were, or make her a thing, you have her beat Becky Lynch in a stunning upset. However, and they've done a couple things to kind of legitimize Lyra the last couple of weeks. Like, she's gotten the upper hand on Becky a couple times, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
However, Becky Lynch ain't losing this match. I think it's Becky Lynch is going to become the new Women's Intercontinental Champion over Lyra, because I think that's where they're going with Becky and her story, and eventually Bayley. So that's my thought.
Becky and Lyra, I mean, apparently they're from the same part of the world, and they had Becky win the NXT championship from Tiffany Stratton so she could put over Lyra in NXT. And I do feel like there's some sentiment of they're just doing the exact same thing now in WWE.
Maybe.
And reportedly, this whole thing was pitched by Becky for her return, that she would attack Bayley, she would take her place in the match, they would win the titles, they would lose them on Raw, she would turn and feud with Lyra and potentially to put Lyra over. I don't know. I think that Becky Lynch should win this match. I think that a Becky-Bayley feud for the Women's Intercontinental Championship, that can culminate in Becky took Bayley out of WrestleMania. Now, supposedly Bayley really is injured. I don't know. Becky's line on the Raw post show about how she can pay $100 a month to text her best friend. That's amazing, since that's Mercedes Moné and her $99 a month text scam. You're not texting a person, you're texting AI. So love that. But I think that Becky and Bayley could have a feud that literally culminates in a Hell in a Cell match for the Women's Intercontinental Championship. That does wonders for the title, in my opinion. Like, that is a way to build that title.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they really are just doing the NXT angle all over again, and Becky's going to put Lyra over. So I'm going to say Becky Lynch should win. Lyra Valkyria will win, in my humble opinion. Which brings us to what will undoubtedly be the main event. The match that maybe it's happening too soon, maybe it's not, I don't know. Maybe it'll happen more than once. There was only so many times we're going to get to see John Cena before he's done. WWE Champion John Cena, 17-time world champion, defends his title against Randy Orton. We all know the history. We all know everything between these two guys. Who should win? Who will win?
This is another one. I always hate the Backlash pay-per-view and the who should win, who will win when it comes to titles. Because 9 times out of 10, when we're talking about these champions, they literally just won the title.
Yes.
At WrestleMania. And that is the case here. And so mentally for me, John Cena should win this match. I think John Cena will win this match to the guy who I think has a case to actually be the one to induct John Cena into the WWE Hall of Fame when that happens, because of their history and their long time, you know, feuding together alongside each other, against each other. It's been a great thing. Here's the thing. This is another match, in my opinion, that I think is going to be hard pressed to be anything better, anything worse than good. Like Randy came out of the scene hella energized. John looks very energized in his side of this feud, and the two of them going back and forth. And Greg, I don't think it has to end here at Backlash. I think this can be a summertime feud that goes a little bit longer. So if Cena wins and Randy Orton keeps after it because the way Cena wins is dodgy, win. I think that's a win for everyone, because these two, we know what these two can do together. And I really hope that the John Cena retirement tour is about guys he wants to wrestle,
right,
and work with on his way out, regardless of how long they've been here or if it's a young guy you're trying to put over. If you're going to put someone over, John, put him over. When's his last match?
December. I don't know the exact date, but it's in
December. So put over somebody at Survivor Series in November is fine.
Yeah. He'll probably lose the title at SummerSlam, in my opinion, which, you know, gives away my my prediction here. But I'm going to go crazy. Not that crazy, but I really think Randy Orton should win. I think it's just because on my playlist, I want Randy Orton to be WWE champion. Because Randy could get to 18. Like, he signed another 5 years last year, or late last year. He's at 14 or 15 right now, world championships. Like, Randy could get to 18 and break everybody's record. And Randy should. I have no problem with Randy going down in history with that stuff. Like, I just don't. I would love to see it and would vote multiple times for that to be the case. So my opinion, Randy Orton should win. I'm with you. There's no way in hell John Cena is losing this match. I do think he could lose by disqualification. There was a match in history that everybody's talking about where Orton got himself disqualified on purpose to retain against John Cena. He slapped the referee in the face to get DQ'd, and maybe that can happen here as well. I would hate to see our main event end that way. Would very much hate to see our main event end that way, but it very well could.
Can you just imagine speaking the internet, collective internet freak out if he wins that way?
I don't know if they will, because so many people on the internet are calling it already. That's my only.
But so many people also don't remember that, like, outside of these randos on the internet. Like,
it's true.
It's like understanding wrestling attendance based on Reddit comments. Like, it's silly.
I didn't remember that until the internet reminded me of it. So I'm there too, but I just don't see John Cena losing this match, even though I would love to see Randy Orton emerge victorious, but there is a possibility where Orton wins the match and doesn't win the title. I would hate to see it. Honestly, Patrick O'Dowd, I guess my fear, I don't know if fear is the right word. I think Cody's going to win the title back from John Cena. He's going to be the same. Cause remember, John Cena's mission right now is to ruin wrestling. And so what's Cody going to do? He's going to save wrestling, because wrestling has more than one royal. And Cody has to be the Cody that they want him to be, even though he shouldn't be. He should be a heel. So please turn on Cody soon, fans, so we can get Cody as a heel. But I think that Randy Orton should win. John Cena will win. So there you go. Those are our predictions, including the predictions for Patrick O'Dowd, which I will, on your behalf, send along for the Chair Shot article about the pay-per-view. Likely do that tonight. So, and that is it. That is going to do it for our program. 48 minutes. We finished this show today, a shorter one.
Look at us go.
O'Dowd, even though we've been on our call for an hour and 20 minutes, but 48 minutes of recording has gone through. So.
It gave me enough time to bring Lionel Richie back into the back.
I'm very excited about Lionel being back in the back. So,
hello.
It is you. I'm looking
me,
for
me. You looking it was, for?
It was when I called you on Teams earlier and got you to come in. So, yeah, I am.
Yeah.
It's Backlash.
Backlash. What are we going to do over the next 3 weeks, man?
I may have to do solo shows. I may have to try to get somebody to fill in for you. I don't know.
Solo show Koa.
But see, now it's harder for me to even, can the sound bites even be played? I mean, it's, I guess I can.
I love you, solo.
I can play that sound bite that you can't hear, but I can't play this one. Even though I just played it, but I didn't play much of it. So we'll see how it reacts. But yeah, maybe we'll go solo show. Maybe I'll rope somebody into recording. Who knows? Maybe I'll.
I mean, actually, Tuesday's like the one no deal for PC Tunney.
Yeah.
He's usually like, I've tried to get him on a couple of different Tuesday recordings at times. And like,
he's
done
a Tuesday with me before, but it was a while back. And maybe it was just one random Tuesday he could do. I can get somebody, or I'll just fly solo. You know, I've been fine solo. So we will.
You should try to bring Miranda back. You should have.
It's just so
the
hard.
Best goddamn she got a wrestling 1 year old. Podcast.
She got so a 1 year old.
Sit the 1 year on the lap, put a little, like, you know, put a bell on him or something. If he runs away, like, fine.
We tried to do that 1 week and there just ended up being no show because it became impossible to record. That was like a year ago. So this was like not 1 year old at the time. This is like a couple month old. So things are different now.
Well, that's different.
Yeah. It is the Tuesday after an IZW event, which on her show used to always be the IZW wrap up show. So there is precedent set.
I'm just saying there's an opportunity to try. Maybe, and maybe you're not beholden to, you know, you're both in the Pacific time zone. Like, right. you don't have to record when you're, who knows? I'm just trying to help you. I'm trying to help the program.
I agree. I understand.
You all she could help the program. Everybody follow me at Wrestling Realist. At WrestlingRealist. Yeah, I don't say it like Greg, but there is, I mean, there's nothing for it. I can't even do his line because I don't say it. I just,
there's no I in wrestling, but there is one in realist and there is one in Patrick.
Because
there is one in friend.
Because my follow is to tell everybody when you can listen to me on the Chair Shot Radio Network. And then I always talk about how we sometimes record on Tuesday.
Right. That makes sense.
It's Tuesdays when we feel like it. That's
yes.
What I say.
More about availability, but yes. But go follow Patrick O'Dowd at Wrestling Realist. That's WrestlingRealist. There's no I in wrestling, but there is one in realist. And there is one in Patrick for the Wrestling Realist, Patrick O'Dowd. Go follow me at Greg DeMarco 44. Go follow the website at ChairShot Media for all things thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
It's sports, it's entertainment, it's sports entertainment, and so much more. Great podcasts, great articles. You will not be disappointed if you go on and throw a follow over at thechairshot.com. So Patrick O'Dowd, we'll see you guys in June, maybe, apparently, as things are going right now, maybe the end of May.
Yeah, I got things.
He's got things. It's summer, dude. It's summer.
I got umbrella drinks to sip on a cruise ship. That's what I got going on.
I got to travel to amazing places like Lincoln, Nebraska and Hollywood, Florida.
You want to go to Lincoln, Nebraska? Don't act like
son,
you
dude.
Don't.
It's my son. And I want to go to Hollywood, Florida because it's Hollywood, Florida. And we're staying at like this super nice resort that I'm not going to name on air. Not that it would matter. Not like anybody's going to do anything, but, still it's named after a very famous Jimmy Buffett song. So, which means I really gave it away, but yeah.
It'll be fun. Really, dude?
Still didn't say the name of it. But if someone cares enough to go find me, of all people, at this resort in Hollywood, Florida, more power to you. Like, that's all I got to
say.
More power to you.
You got fans, man. You got like 3 fans.
Yeah, and I'm sure none of them are in Hollywood. The one fan in Florida is not even going to make it. So, yeah, it's just not going to happen. So, until next time, he is Patrick O'Dowd. I'm Greg DeMarco. We appreciate you listening. I can't play us out with a song. So, yeah. You get Adam Cole instead.